Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian behind the glass. It is a Thursday edition of the program. Thursday edition of the program. Lots to get to. Do you remember the Houston Texans play a football game tonight?
Yeah, they do.
I forgot this morning. Like, I consider myself pretty in tune with what's going on in the world of sports, especially what's going on in the world of sports in Houston. I think because of, like, the Jaden Higgins injury yesterday, we got reports yesterday from Jonathan Alexander that, like, DeMeco changed his mind, he's not going to play anybody.
Yes.
Which those have actually been kind of changed, the reports on that today. So Astros, Higgins news, fantasy football.
You're a topic.
What's that?
You're a topic in the Texans community. I heard you. I saw you getting talked about.
Oh, the what do they call that show?
I don't remember.
The Texans, not the Collective.
No,
Texans Tailgate.
That's what Texans Tailgate.
Is that the name of it?
Collective is the one with.
No, they don't call it the Tailgate. He's wrong. They call it the Cookout.
Cookout.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, they call it the Cookout. Yeah,
the Collective is the one with Seth and, or not Seth, Sean.
We're aware, Brian. The
apparently you weren't. You asked.
I didn't ask.
Yes, what was the name?
Of the show I got mentioned on. What's he talking about, this guy? He's always quick with information whenever it's not necessary or needed.
Happy Thursday. So they were talking about you.
Yeah, they were. They say that I'm the only person that talks about CJ needing to improve his decision making.
Yeah.
So I linked them every single time that DeMeco Ryans has said it. Because they think it's like it's my propaganda.
Yeah.
Like I'm the only one who says CJ Stroud needs to make better decisions. I'm just the messenger. Mm-hmm. I'm just the guy relaying the message. The head coach of the Houston Texans is the one that says over and over and over and over and over again that he wants his quarterback to improve his decision-making. I'm just relaying the message, and somehow I'm the one that I'm the innovator of this idea, apparently. Yes. But, yeah, there's so much going on. The Higgins, the Astros, the injury, reports yesterday that the Texans weren't going to play any of their starters. So whenever I woke up today and they had, like, a game preview on the Houston Chronicles, like, oh, yeah, they play tonight. Brandon Baby's birthday. So, like, I totally forgot. I woke up with zero recollection that the Houston Texans played a football game tonight. So I had to go place all my bets.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of underdogs this weekend. So
I remembered. I just was, like, sad that they're playing because I hate preseason football. But the fact that the starters are going to play.
I don't hate it.
Makes it a little bit better.
I don't hate it.
I wish we could just get.
Like, I like that it's there. I like that we see. I mean, now. You obviously rather have real football.
That's it, yeah.
And I think that's probably why you hate it. It's because it's not the real thing.
It's the big tease.
Yeah.
I want the real thing.
Yeah.
I want Aziz to hit someone, hurt them.
There was a great article in SI about that. We'll get to that later, I think. But no, I mean, I like that it's on. You know, I like apparently the starters are going to play tonight. So, you know, what does that look like? Will you have to go outside to bring it? You know, there's things that I enjoy about the preseason, but you're right. It's not the real thing. Not even close to the real thing. So, yeah I hear you on that. Astros played baseball yesterday. Just 30-something games left in the season. Stretch drive for the Houston Astros. Does anybody realize that? But the Astros get a much-needed win yesterday. Also, Joe, the Rangers lost a baseball game.
Yes.
So the Houston Astros, we wake up today on August 20th. Brandon Baby's birthday. I'm going to try to mention that 20 times today. They're 2-up in the American League West.
We chase the
I woke
fight.
Up, Astros 2-up.
Yep. Maybe they can be 3-up after today.
That's the analysis that we pay you the big bucks for.
Yeah. Maybe they can be 3-up.
Dynamite drop in money.
But no, good job, Astros. That was well done. What'd you think of the new guy, Ethan Pecco?
Not bad. I mean, I clearly like first start, you know, it's obviously the 3 walks. High pitch count leads him to having to leave the game early. But for his MLB debut, what you've been getting from your starters, like, it's okay. It's really, to me, it's not that much different from Javier. It's just there's more hope in the future of Pecco, right? It's maybe this is something to build on, and you take it. I think, too, watching the last 2 games, some of these starts, it's like that's probably just going to be good enough. Like if that, that might just be what the cap is of what some of these starts are from guys like Pecco and Javier is 3 to 4, maybe 5 innings of giving up a couple runs. It's not going to be super pretty, but I thought it was a solid first start for him.
That's how pretty much really my thoughts on it as well. Like, it was okay. Like, it's not spectacular. If you're getting 3 2/3 from your starter, 2 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks, it's not an outing you're going to be happy with ever. But there's, like, some promise there.
Yeah.
You know, the punch-out was there. The stuff was okay. The command wasn't fantastic. I agree with you on the upside. Like, I feel like there's more upside with Pecco than there is Christian Javier, than there is Ronel Blanco. I feel Emai has higher upside, but Emai also has a, like, his floor is way down there too. You know what I mean? So yeah. I mean, wasn't spectacular. It was all right. Gives you some reason for hope that maybe he can fill out one of the bottom spots of this rotation, which it's a sad state of affairs. This starting rotation is a sad state of affairs. So it's not a very like high bar to clear, but yeah, there was some hope there. I thought it was decent, especially for a first start.
I think it's one of those, like, you watch it, and as it was going on, I was like, I think I could talk myself into, like, a Pecco to blue ball playoff game.
You might not have a choice.
Or it's like, that might give you 5 innings of the third game of a wild card or a divisional round.
Hopefully a game. Fourth game.
Maybe fourth game. I'm not a big Wesneski guy, so.
But you're not putting Pecco ahead of Wesneski.
Probably not. I don't think it's impossible. I'm going to be honest with you.
I mean, there's still a lot of time, not a lot of time, but there's still, what, there's 35-ish games, so the six or seven start. Gosh, yeah. Darn it.
He did it again.
Oh.
6-7. You made it 5 minutes.
7. Yeah, 6 minutes. I
think your fantasy league has to be the 6-7 junkies.
No. Yes. We're not doing that. No, I don't like that. It's just like I'm subconsciously conditioned to do it now. That was weird. I forgot what I was going to say. The bullpen was good.
It was
the
good.
Bullpen was good. Souza, inning and a third. Blue ball, an inning. Your guy. Okert, shutout inning. Abreu looked really dominant. Josh Hader flirted with danger. He brought it. He allowed the tying run to reach base in a leadoff walk. I hate leadoff walks. He ended up getting all the way to third base. But job done. Bullpen was fantastic as they cleaned up Pecco's mess. It was telling to me that Christian Vasquez started the game, which at minimum tells us that the Astros prefer Vasquez behind the plate to hold the hand of a young starter.
Oh, yeah. I think specifically in that scenario, Vasquez is clearly the guy.
At minimum.
Yes.
At maximum, they don't like Yiner.
Well, I don't think they really like Yiner.
I do too, but I'm saying, you know, that's the range. At minimum, they trust Vasquez way more with a rookie making his first ever start at the big league level. And then at maximum, it's like, we can't play that guy behind the dish except in very specific situations, like catching Hunter Brown.
Yeah, like I think Vasquez is the catcher. I'd use him for Wisniewski. I'd use him for Pecco. If you bring up anyone else, that's the guy I'd want behind the plate. You want the veteran back there. And I don't, like, if it was Maldi and Yiner, always would have been the same thing. Yiner can catch Hunter Brown. Maybe Peter Lambert. Outside of that, I'd rather have Vasquez be in the... You want the vet back there. Like you said, hold his hand a little bit.
You want him to
make
hold
sure
his
he's
hand.
Comfortable. Make sure he is the right guy calling the pitches behind the plate.
I don't think Yiner calls pitches.
I know. You've said that a bunch.
I don't think. I mean, no one reports it. No one talks about it.
It's just the feel.
Look, well, I mean, watch Yiner look to the dugout. He looks to the dugout after every pitch. And like, well, he's looking at positioning. He's looking at, like, if he wants a first. Well, that's not every occurrence.
Yeah.
He's looking into the dugout after every pitch when there's nobody on base. And then he looks into the dugout, and then he immediately goes to the pitch comm. Like, what's he doing?
Why don't they just call it? Can they call it from the dugout?
No, you can't. You can't. You can't do that. It's illegal.
They should allow that.
I mean,
I don't see why not.
What's interesting in college baseball, you can't call it. I don't think in the college baseball you can have the pitch comm in the dugout, but you have a walkie-talkie. And the catcher has the earpiece.
Oh, okay.
And then he can call the pitches. So you might as well, like, I don't understand why they don't give the dugout the pitch comm.
Yeah.
Like,
if they're
what's
giving
the difference
the sign
here?
Yeah. To the catcher who's then relaying it to the pitcher.
Yeah, they're sitting there in a walkie-talkie, curveball. And then the catcher punches it into their, they call it a K-band, pitch comm, same thing. So they punch it in, and then now the pitcher has it.
Yeah.
Where it's like, why do we need a middleman here?
Yeah,
like,
I don't really get the point of that.
Why wouldn't you just have everybody have the pitch comm, and boom, there you go.
It's basically no different than just having... if they had it in the dugout, it's like having an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Like your quarterback doesn't call the plays. He gets them from the sideline.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then exactly. tells everyone. Why can't it just go from bench to pitcher and catcher?
But what's weird with the difference between the football and the baseball would be that more than one person has the pitch comm.
Yes.
Where in football, there's only one guy on the field at a time that has comms.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the difference there. I don't know. It's weird. How do we get here? But the bullpen was very, very good. Vasquez, he also helped you out with the bat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting a home run almost to Jeff Blum. Almost to Jeff Blum. They were in the Crawford boxes
they
yesterday.
Were. I got a question for you.
Blum made an effort.
Should Blum, of all people, have a glove?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're trying to do something spectacular for the broadcast.
He's a former – he doesn't need a glove.
It helps.
He's a former Major League Baseball player.
It helps, though.
He can catch it.
But he's going to have a better chance of catching it with the glove.
Yeah, but wouldn't –
plus, like, I think that's like kind of the message that they're trying to send.
Is to have
like,
a glove?
Like, hey, we're right here. We're ready to go.
To follow
the
rules?
We can get a ball right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot going on in the Crawford
boxes. There was
boxes
a lot going on in the Crawford boxes yesterday.
There was a lot going on. Yeah, what did you think on that fan interference?
You just got to know better than that.
Jerry West would have called it a home run. Jerry West, Joe West. Jerry West is a basketball player. He's the logo.
You can't reach over.
It's bad fanning.
Yeah, I mean that is pretty egregious. Like we've seen it before where it's a little reach. That guy looked like he could have fallen out of there.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
I don't think it cost the Astros, though. I saw there was a lot of conversation on the internet, and Todd Callis talked about it, too, that they felt like it was – because the umpires in that moment, when there's fan interference, it's not like an automatic ground rule double, like if the ball bounces over the wall. The umpires can decide, based on their discretion,
mm-hmm.
where the runners would have been if the ball was not touched by a fan.
Yes.
So they're guessing. They're using their best guess. It's not some binary, arbitrary, oh, the ball bounced over the wall. It's a ground rule double. You go to second, you go to third, you score. It's not two bases. It's the umpires get to decide. If that ball were not touched, where would the runners have ended up?
Yeah.
There were some people who were thinking that the runner shouldn't have scored. The second run should not have scored. What'd you think on that?
I mean, he took off. Like, I think I don't have any issue with how they called it last night.
I think they got it right.
Yeah, I didn't even think it was going to be controversial, to be honest with you.
I thought it was kind of fair.
I was like, that's what I saw.
If he was running on the pitch. He was like at third base, like tagging his other runner. He just ran by him.
It's way worse to send him back, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's unfortunate. And one of my kind of views on this is if it's the home team fan is the guy that makes the mistake, I think it's kind of fair to punish the home team.
To err on that side?
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that.
Like, and he was wearing I think it was like United Healthcare polo, the guy, is what it looked like.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If he was wearing the other team's jersey, if he was wearing an Angels jersey, I'm fair with then rewarding the Astros. I think it's like, it's not full Savannah Banana rules.
Yeah, but close.
But like, if you're wearing the team's jersey, whichever team you're representing is the team that should get punished in that situation.
I don't hate that.
Now, he wasn't wearing one, so I think they got it right. Like, it's the home ballpark. It's unfortunate, but, like, it's your fan. It's kind of feels like it's your mistake in a way.
If you were to ask me if the fan didn't touch the baseball, where would the runners have ended up? I would have said both runners should score.
Agreed.
And that the batter should end up at second.
Yes.
I think that they got it right. I think they got it right on there. And but who cares now, right? The Astros won the game. It's not like we're arguing something that cost the Astros the game. But that's the beauty of arguing sports, right? Is arguing the margins, arguing the little details. You know, we know something about that. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener. I look ahead. We'll rock and roll to the Houston Texans football game a little bit later. The NFL, they got some stuff going on. We are giving away some tickets to the ESPN 97.5 listener party. I'm not going to tell you when we're doing it, but we're going to do it a little bit later. I do want to touch on this Joe Espada ejection, though. This Joe Espada ejection, a little check swing. Pena got a fastball on the knuckle. We'll see if he's in the lineup or not today. Let's discuss that on the other side. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. You can watch along, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, where they're saying very kind things about Brian. YouTube at ESPN Houston. TikTok, ESPN97.5. Where else can you find us? Twitter, that's right. ESPN97.5 there. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe, ESPN97.5.
If you miss John and Lance, you missed this.
So this can't be criminal?
No.
But is it criminal if you say it's a fantasy punishment?
I lost my fantasy league.
I lost my fantasy league.
Yes, it's still criminal.
Still criminal?
Weekday mornings from 7 to 10. To the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Jeremy and Joe, I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy. Joe's the last real good guy. Brian's the brain. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. Junior Broncos asking on the Twitch, which be careful. Careful going to the Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. He's saying, who are the five bums who haven't joined the dozens and dozens of junkies fantasy J-Bone extravaganza league? There are a few who haven't signed up. The emails are out. Brian, Eager Beaver Brian was, he did his, what, two nights ago? 2 days ago? Yesterday morning, afternoon-ish. Joe did his this morning. Yes. I did mine late last night. And then I did a second one today because it looks like we're going to do four leagues. There's still some people who haven't signed up.
Correct.
So everybody was like, here's my email address. Write me down. I want in. Where are you? Here's what we're going to do, too, because we are going to be doing the draft, kind of a hybrid draft.
Yes.
It's going to take place 6:30 Wednesdays when it will begin, and we're going to be doing the drive live at Nick's place. I said the drive. The draft live at Nick's place. You don't have to be there, but of course, it would be cool if you're with the junkies, right? It'd be cool if we had a dozen junkies there and we're just hanging out, having some calzones and some cold beer.
Sounds great.
Sounds like a fantastic evening. So Friday or Wednesday, next Wednesday at 6:30 is the kickoff of our draft, all of the drafts. So we're all going to hang out, have a good time, draft. Now, you don't have to be present. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be there because the draft is, of course, on the Sleeper app. And we're going to be doing draft picks that are – you have 60 seconds to make your draft pick. And then we might move it to 30 seconds later in the draft, depending on vibes. So, if you don't – and here's the thing. If you don't sign up by Wednesday when our show's over, here's what we're going to do.
Monday.
I'm all over the place.
You are a struggle bus.
So, Monday, whenever our show is over at 6 o'clock, whatever openings we have left, we're opening it to everybody.
Yep.
We're opening it today because Brian gave the great point today. Great nugget, Brian. You're so smart. That's why we call you the brain. You can invite as many people as you want. So if there's two or three openings left, we're going to say, okay, here's your last chance for you to be in the league. We have two or three openings. Send us your email addresses, and we're going to send them to all of you. We're going to send the link to all of you. And then the first three people, depending on the amount of openings we have, that register, well, you're in the league. You're in the league. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. It's what we're doing. So if you signed up and we sent you an email and you're MIA, Monday at 6 is your deadline.
Yes.
And after that, we're opening it up to all of the dozens and dozens of junkies. So that's it. Did I miss anything? Wednesday, 6:30, Nick's place, 60 seconds on the clock for your draft pick. We would love to have you there, the dozens and dozens. It might just be us three. Who knows? We'll see.
We've got at least 15 people have said they're going to
I know our listeners. If we've had 15 of our listeners say that they're going to show up, there's going to be three.
We'll take what we can get.
But you don't have to be present, though. You remote, sleeper, 6:30, Nick's place is where we're going to congregate to have a good old time. You don't have to be there, but you do have to sign up by Monday at 6. If you don't sign up, your spot is up for grabs.
I did get permission for something last night.
Okay. From who?
The wife.
Okay. I was wondering if it was the boss or the wife.
The same thing.
The wife.
Depending where you're at.
Well, one actually has say in this, one doesn't.
Okay.
I'll buy one round of beer for everyone that comes on Wednesday night.
You're going to buy
dozens and dozens of beers?
If
everyone shows up for the people that are in the league, it's 48 beers.
How much do the buckets cost there?
Great question. Probably should have asked Nick before I said that. But to incentivize, Uno round on me.
Okay, if Brian gets the second, I'll get the third.
Not a chance.
Okay. All right. Yeah. First round's on Joe.
First round's on Joe for those that come.
First round's on Joe. But again, if you don't sign up by Monday at 6, you're gone. You're at it. You're like showing out to you. Someone, and we're gonna fill the gap.
I just got a notification that someone just joined.
We're gonna hit the B gap. Yep. Get you out of here. And
I got someone that just texted me that wants in.
Really?
We know him. He does a show Saturdays at 8 a.m.
Oh, doctor?
Yeah, Will Doctor wants
doctor, him. Doctor? Well, the challenge of that, we love you, Will. The challenge with that, though, I mean, we'll see. He could be a reserve.
He's a junkie.
The challenge, but the thing is, he can't win a prize.
That's true.
So I don't want to take a spot from somebody who can win a prize for someone who can't. But it's good to know that you know, if we have an opening, well, there you go. We got a doctor to fill the plug.
Yes.
Or he could just have an alias, like
Will Surgeon,
like Dr. Bill.
Dr. Bill.
Yeah. That's interesting. He texted you, not me. It's a little interesting to me.
What do you take from that, Jeremy?
He normally texts me during the show.
Yeah?
How often does he text you during the show?
Usually only if he needs to test a connection.
Yeah, usually he texts me.
I don't ever get a text.
He texted me the other day when we were talking about that Penn State fraternity. What was his name? The Pablo Pledgebar?
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. That made my day. All right. Joe spot his ejection yesterday.
You are out of here.
That's what that weaselly, dirty first-base umpire did to Joe Espada yesterday.
Oh,
that was one of the worst ejections I've seen all year. And Joe Espada does not get run very often.
No.
He does not get animated. Now, I never saw the dugout shot, because you saw the first-base umpire warn him. You saw him warn him, and he's like, okay, and then ran him. So I would have loved to see the dugout shot while that was going on. But I can't imagine that Joe Espada was that animated.
It didn't even feel that animated when he was on the field.
The only thing I would think is that he was out of the dugout. And then it was like, okay, well, if you're out of the dugout after I told you to get back, I'm running you. But it was so soft.
Yeah. It was
so weak.
Very soft ejection. Joe had every right to be upset, I think, in the moment. I can't believe they threw him out for that. Like, he does, again, not when he's on the field, he's not even yelling that much. He's so calm. Like, what are you throwing him out for? I don't get it at all. And I think he was right to be upset. What's the difference between those two plays? I think Pena's bat went slightly further.
All right, so what did you think on the Pena play? Because I have, you know, a perspective on this as well. What did you think on the Pena one?
I think they probably got it right.
Okay.
But I don't get why Trout's wasn't the same.
So Espada said after the game, he was like, I thought that Trout swung, so I was trying to get an appeal. I thought it was the same thing as Pena. He said in the post game he didn't feel like Trout swung after watching the replay. I disagree.
Yeah.
I thought Trout went.
Like, I think Pena's bat clearly went further than Trout's.
Yeah, I think 100% they got that call right.
But Trout swung, and the ball was in play. So I don't quite get why Trout's wasn't.
Do you think that Trout got hit?
It looks like he gets hit in the hand.
So, yeah.
But I can't tell from the angles I've seen, like, if it's clear, if it hits the knob of the bat.
See, I think he got hit. I think it grazed his hand and then hit the knob, which is enough for it to be a dead ball.
Yeah.
Now, if he swung, it's a strike.
Yes.
It's a dead ball strike, and it's a strike. That's the same thing with the umpire was telling Pena. Pena, he was like, yeah, you got hit, which makes it a dead ball, but you swung, so it's a strike. And because you already have two strikes, it's the third strike, and you're out. I forget the count with Trout. But it didn't matter that it got put into play, because once it hits a batter, it's dead. Now, at that point, well, did he swing? And if he did, it's a strike. And if he didn't swing, okay, well, you have a hit-by-pitch in that case.
Yeah, Trout's count was a 1-0 count.
So I think that should have been dead ball, mm-hmm. swinging strike, 1-1 count, get back in the box. I think that's what it should have been.
Yeah.
I don't agree with Espada, who said in the post game that he does think after watching replay that he checked his swing. It was much closer than Pena's.
Yes.
But I felt he went around. I thought he went.
I thought he went too. So I get why Joe would be upset in that moment, because they happened so close together, and it just feels like it's the same exact play. And a lot of Pena's swing, like all the way through, is, I think, also very clearly because he's in pain. And I know they can't take that into consideration, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, Pena goes all the way through because it hurt. Trout did stop, but they looked like they were very, very close to the same play. You know, Pena definitely went further, but I think they should have been ruled the same way at that point.
I'm with you on that. I thought it should have been a swing. Pena was more egregious, but it was a swing either way, I thought. Do you think that the Astros should get some retaliation for hitting Pena? 100-mile-per-hour fastball to the middle knuckle. Think they should retaliate?
No.
I'm here. I'm ready. I'm ready to retaliate. Now, it needs to be in a proper situation. Can't be in a one-run game in the eighth.
Who you hit? Neto?
I don't like Neto.
I know you don't.
It depends on, I'd be cool with Trout. I'd be cool with Neto. Depends on the situation. Like, two outs, nobody on. Yeah, let's hit one of them. Let's get them back. You don't throw my shortstop and hit him in the middle of the finger and then get away with it.
That's fine.
I want retaliation. You got 100 miles per hour to the knuckle, man. Defend your shortstop.
I mean, I feel like Trout's wasn't intentional, but didn't you already kind of get it back?
No, he got first base.
Yeah, but he did hurt. Did get hurt.
Yeah, but the Astros manager got ejected from that play. That negates it.
I mean, I think Lambert can throw one in the back of someone today. I mean, I don't think it's necessary, but I'm fine with it. I wouldn't do it personally, but.
Get him back. Did you know that was the 17th time the Astros have had a different starter on the mound?
I did not know that.
It ties a franchise record.
So they're going to break it this year.
You think there'll be somebody different?
Yes.
You think they'll have another unique starter? There's only 30-something games left.
Well, there'll be a bullpen game or someone will come up.
Maybe.
Before the end of the season.
So you think there's going to be an 18th starter?
Yes. I mean, right, it's
unique.
It's TBA right now.
Who?
For Sunday.
Yeah, but I mean, that's probably Pecco.
Probably. Yeah.
You'd be pitching on 4 days rest.
Why is it TBA then?
So what, did they announce their rotation?
Yeah.
What's the rotation?
Was Wisniewski, Brown, the first two games.
So it could even be who threw the opener of this series?
Javier?
Yeah, it could even be Javier.
Yeah, or it could be someone new.
I don't think it'll be somebody new yet. I think it's firmly in play that they could set a franchise record, but I think there's a decent chance it stays at 17.
I think they're going to get a bullpen game in here at some point to try it before the playoffs. Or they'll bring up, who's the other prospect?
Mayer.
Like, one of those two things will happen before the end of the season.
Do you know what year the previous record was set?
Was it last year?
No, I was a little surprised by that.
I was like, that was my first guess, was last season.
1965.
Wow.
Astros' fourth year as a franchise.
Because they had the most players ever on the injured list last season.
I want to say it's the most players they've had to use in a single season, and it might have even been the most pitchers they've had to use in a single season.
Yes.
But they only had 15 unique starters.
Okay. Yeah, I think unfortunately.
Can you name the 15 starters?
No.
How many can you get?
Okay.
Y'all play a game. Y'all play a game. You and...
We go back and forth?
713, this can be how we give away our tickets. 713-780-ESPN.
Right now?
Hey, why not?
Okay, sure.
HRP listener line, call right now. First person that calls, you're going to be on Team Joe. Second person's going to be on Team Brian. 713-780-ESPN, ESPN 97.5 Listener Appreciation Party. The party begins 6:30 Friday, August 28th, St. Honor Brewing Beer Hall. Beer will be provided. Food's also going to be provided by Ninfas, Ducky McSweeney's, Tiff Treats is going to be out there, Texadelphia, Terry Black's Barbecue, OMG Burgers. Mm-hmm. Republic Boot Company's going to be out there, too.
They will be there.
They're going to be out there. It's going to be a great time.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. So here's what we're going to do. 713-780-ESPN. We're going to give Brian a chance to you stay off your computer. Brian will stay off his computer. We're going to give Brian a chance to kind of reset because he's answering the call and trying to play a game. So we're going to go to break here. When we come back, Joe and Brian are going to play a game. Name that starter from 2025. 713. I don't know why I'm giving you the number. The phone lines are booked up. Everybody's calling in. All right, it's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. Brian, we're going to break. Going to break right now, Brian. Hit the button, Brian. We're going to break. Going to break, Brian. Brian, we're going to break. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
All right, giving away tickets to the ESPN 97.5 Listener Appreciation Party. A little impromptu right here. Stumbled on this. Troy is on Brian's team. Robert is on Joe's team. Best of luck, boys. Last year, the Astros had 15 unique starters.
Okay.
15 unique starters. So this is going to be the, like, name them until you run out. You'll have to alternate.
Oh, last season. Okay.
Yeah, last season. Not this season. Last season. Or should we do this season?
No, let's do last season.
I thought it hurt this season, but I'm fine either way. Doesn't matter.
Let's go 2025 because it's a little bit harder, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, so who's going to go first?
Brian can have first.
All right.
That's Brian, an advantage to you.
Yeah, let's flip a coin.
Okay, honestly, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be terrible at this. So,
Joe, flip heads or tails?
Heads.
Siri, heads or tails? It's tails. She didn't say anything.
She's not talking to you?
I had it muted. It's tails. It's tails. What did he say?
He said heads.
So you get to decide whether to go first or for Joe to go first.
Joe goes first.
All right, Joe. Name a starter from last year's Houston Astro baseball team.
Hunter Brown.
That is right. Hunter Brown.
Framber Valdez.
Yeah. Good job, guys.
Lance McCullers.
Lance McCullers had 13 starts. Yes.
Colton Gordon.
Colton Gordon, 14 starts.
Hayden Wesneski.
Hayden Wesneski, barely 6.
That's why I went there.
Who am I thinking? Rennell Blount? No. Oh, my God.
Should we put the count on Brian?
Yeah, what is
10, 9, 8, 7,
oh my
6,
God.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I blinked.
Blanco was there. Blanco made 9 stars.
So that's win?
Joe won. Joe's the winner. Congratulations, Robert. Poor effort by Brian.
Yeah, it was. No, I completely froze.
He blanked on Blanco and was right. He took no
way. I said Blanco and pulled it back. And
Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
That was the name. I had Jason Alexander in my head, and I completely froze.
Summer of George.
Brandon Walter.
My guy. Redheaded Tom Glavin. Love Brandon Walter.
That was my list.
That's it? You're done?
Javier?
Javier made 8 starts.
I couldn't remember if he did or not.
Who else got hurt last year?
I forget this name now. The guy with the Rock the Baby delivery.
Yeah, Luis Garcia.
He made a start.
What is wrong with you today?
I don't know. I just froze.
How do you not remember Luis Garcia's name?
I forgot about Luis Garcia.
No, I'm talking to Brian.
I know.
I don't know. I froze.
I thought Luis Garcia might have been 2 years
Luis
ago.
Luis Garcia made 2
time.
Starts.
Okay.
Remember he returned and then was really bad his first
start. Oh, yeah. He was throwing like 85 in the minors and they called him up.
Yeah. I don't know. I had Jason Alexander in my head and I just froze. I couldn't think of him.
There is one guy who made – so y'all have every starter that made at least 10 starts or more except for one.
10 starts or more.
He made 14 starts. 14 starts for the Astros.
Is he still in the organization?
No.
Oh, wait, no, that was 23. No, that was 24 I'm thinking of.
I have no idea.
I was thinking of Kikuchi, but that was 24.
Do you know, can you tell us what team he's on now?
That would be a dead giveaway.
Urquidy?
Uh-uh. Urquidy didn't make a single start. I don't think Urquidy wasn't in the organization last year, I don't believe.
No, he was not.
It's a bad day for me.
He
I don't know.
He was traded at the deadline.
He was traded at the deadline. Oh, Aaron Getty.
No, last year's deadline.
Oh, last year's deadline.
Arrigetti did make starts. He made 7, but he didn't. He was not.
He
the
wasn't
pitcher.
The guy that made 14. Okay.
Y'all have named every starter that has made at least 10 starts last year, not this year. He was tied for 3rd for the most starts.
Framber
was 31. Hunter Brown was 31. This guy and Gordon were 14.
I have no idea.
He was a rookie. He's a rookie. Was traded at the deadline last year. He pitched against the Astros this season, not that long ago.
I have no idea. I'm thinking Jake Bloss.
He started.
That's long.
No, Jake Bloss was too long ago.
Yeah.
He was in the trade for Kikuchi in 24.
Yeah. He was traded for a left-handed hitter.
Who did they trade for?
The guy they traded for Jesus to Miami.
Yeah, you're done it now. He just can't remember the name.
I can't remember
the
name.
He knows who it is now. He just can't remember the name. Ryan Gusto.
Oh.
Gusto made 14 starts with the Astros last
year. He made the 3rd most starts?
He and Gordon tied for 3rd most.
Wow.
14 apiece.
That's tough.
Yeah. Last year might have been worse. they didn't have as many starters, but they still had 15. But, man, Gordon and Gusto made 14 a pop. Lance, 13. Walter Blanco, 9. Javier, 8. Arrigetti, 7. Wesneski, 6. Blue Ball, 3. Luis Garcia, 2. And then they had 2 openers. Okert made a start.
Okay.
And then Jaden Murray made a start.
Okay.
Yeah. This season.
I can't believe I won that.
Brian blanked. Brian said Blanco goes, no way.
I was like.
And then couldn't get a name out.
I was ready to get my next one.
Why didn't you just go? Why didn't you just say Blanco?
Because he thought he was wrong.
He just went with Blanco. I wonder if you could do this year.
No.
Lambert leads the way. Burrows and Arrighetti have the second most starts.
Yeah, so Lambert, Burrows, Arrighetti, Hunter Brown, Hayden Wesneski, Tatsuya Imai.
Uh-huh.
Blue Ball?
Blue Ball didn't make a start this year. He made several last year.
Oh, he did? Okay. I couldn't remember if he started one this year or not.
He's not started one. Yeah, so you go in order. Lambert, 21. Burrows and Arrighetti, 17. Imai, 15. Hunter Brown, 13. Kei-Wei Dong, 10. Mm-hmm. McCullers, 8. Javier, 7. Blanco, 4. Wesneski, 4. Cody Bolton, 3. Ryan Weiss, 2. Remember whenever Chandler Rome loved that dude?
Yeah.
It's like, they're treating him poorly. He's not in the rotation. He's a starter. He's a triple A starter. Poor one, too. Jason Alexander, 2. Stephen Okert, Brian King, Colton Gordon, Ethan Pecco, 1 apiece.
Where was how many starts did Kaiway have?
He had 10.
Was it 10?
He ended up with 10.
Jeez.
I know.
Bad time.
It's rough.
Bad times.
Will there be St. Arnold beer at the listener party? I'm going to go on a limb and say there will be. Yeah.
Also, their root beer, which is apparently very, very good.
It is.
Brian loves it.
Yeah. That's what I had last year.
Brian has to drink the root beer, though.
I don't have to. I just...
He's not allowed to have the other stuff.
Oh, God.
Junkie.
You're making me a drunk again.
The reason that I said that is because a junkie just texted in. Said, looks like Brian relapsed again.
I felt like I relapsed in that game.
Someone said Zach Cole. I don't know why they said Zach Cole. Somebody said Zach Short. We're not talking about players that played on the Astros last year. We're talking about pitchers who started games.
They didn't get the game.
For the Astros. They're just naming random position players.
They're just throwing them out there.
We're talking about starting pitchers who started games, not random jabronis who started games. Although some of these random jabronis are funny. Zach Short, Zach Cole, Cooper Hummel. Remember that guy?
I do remember Cooper Hummel.
He would ask for everybody's autograph, that bum. Here's your sign if you're not a big leaguer, but you're playing at a big league team. When you're asking for everybody's autograph.
Yeah. That was bum.
People were mad whenever I brought that. Oh, he likes baseball. No, that's not a sign of a big leaguer.
No.
If you get caught up to the bigs and you start asking for the autograph of other players in the other dugout, like publicly, it's one thing if you go into the back, into the bowels of the stadium, no one knows anything about it. That's one thing, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you're out there in batting practice, like running to the other dugout, can I have your autograph, sir?
It was Ohtani, right?
Not the sign of a big leaguer.
Was it Ohtani?
I don't remember. I think there were several.
He's not having a great year.
Cooper Hummel?
Yeah.
Is he still in America?
No.
I didn't think so. I thought he was playing in Japan.
He is for the Yokohama Bay Stars. 209 batting average. Not good.
How many bombs, though?
5.
Not a good year for
Cooper. And 148 plate appearances.
I wonder if he's asking for their autographs.
Probably not.
Tati Imai's brother over there. He's like, oh, I played in the same organization as your brother. Can I have your autograph? All right, 713-780-ESPN. We better talk football before Key from L.A. gets mad at us. Key from L.A.
Don't text us.
It's mostly because he's an Angels fan and doesn't really like to talk a whole lot of baseball because he's an Angel fan. Rather talk about his Chargers. But the Texans defense, how would you describe the Texans defense in a word? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Define the Texans defense in a word. My word is psychotic, and I love it. I'll tell you why next. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. You know what else I love? Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. It's awesome out there. Two Creeks Crossing Resort is the very, very best. You can do so many different things at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. How about starting with the water park? Water park opened in May. Blue Bayou Bend, great time. It is phenomenal. They also have the Lazy River around Blue Bayou Bend. That's great. Neon Night Float coming up at the end of the month as well. They're always doing things for you because they believe in Southern hospitality. They believe of taking care of their visitors. Neon Night Float, live music, food trucks are out there. Always things for the kiddos as well. And here's what's great. So many great things about Two Creeks Crossing Resort, but maybe my favorite thing, it's not far away. It's 90 minutes away from downtown Houston, hour and a half, and you're there. You don't have to travel across multiple states. You don't have to head to the airport. I got enough airport time in my life. No, you're there in 90 minutes. You're escaping the city and enjoy the relaxing great outdoors in 90 minutes. Book your stay, twocreekscrossingresort.com. Open green spaces, 92 acres worth, in fact. Kayaking on those two creeks, fishing on those two creeks is great as well. They got a catch and release pond in the middle of the property. You'll love that too. Pickleball courts, they have those out there. Very good. Well, Joe and I still need to have our match. But it's a great time all the time at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Open green spaces, beautiful, majestic trees, some of the best fishing in Texas. You can't beat that. Also, all the stays they have for you. Listen to these options. You have an RV? They got it. RV hookup spot just for you. Treehouse. You walk up the steps. You stay into a house that's perched right there in the tree. Waterfront cabins right on the creek and glamping as well. Book your stay right now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. You're going to have a great time at TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
We'll talk some football here. So Astros lineup still not out today. Usually it's out about 4 hours before home games, 3 hours before road games. Apparently Joe Espada's media availability was pushed back 20 minutes today as well. So that's the information we have. We don't want to fearmonger. We don't want to be like that.
No, I came with the good vibes today.
So we're only gonna give you the facts.
Yeah, I wore my Pena jersey. Support.
What do they say? Live Moss or find your beach? Find your beach. Live yeah. Moss is Taco Bell.
Yes.
Both Mexico adjacent. Yeah. So Astros lineup is about 50 minutes delayed for whatever reason. And Espada's media availability is 20 minutes later than normal today.
Lineup's out.
It's out? Is Pena in it?
No.
What's the lineup, Joe?
Do you want to take a guess at who's leading off?
Altuve.
No.
Cam Smith.
No.
Lamont Wade.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
He walks a lot.
Lamont Wade, Yordan Alvarez, Isak Paredes, Jose Altuve, Dalton Varsho, Taylor Trammell, Cam Smith, Nick Allen, Christian Vasquez, Chandler.
I hate that.
What do you hate about it?
Lamont Wade getting the most at bats.
It's crazy.
Who would you rather let off?
Just put Yordan there.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Or Altuve, I'm fine with that too. He's been hitting well recently, given the protection to Yordan.
That's probably why he doesn't want to leave the four hole.
Maybe because he's hitting well.
Yeah. I thought it'd be Altuve too. Wade, I don't think it's the worst option. He sees a lot of pitches. And
I'd rather be. I don't know.
I say this, though? I think Wade hitting leadoff and keeping everything else the same is actually good news. This is us, like, making a mountain out of a molehill. But if they got news today, and look, they said yesterday after the game, x-rays negative, like, he was just sore. My guess coming into today, based on if Espada was telling the truth, and they've been more transparent with injuries. Now, sometimes an x-ray can't catch can't see a fracture or a break when the inflammation is still very, very bad. But I think if they found out something today that this was a long-term injury, I think you would see a more drastic lineup change.
Yeah.
The fact that it's just a plug and play is like, oh, okay. Well, he's going to be back on, tomorrow or a couple of days, not an IL stint. Like, am I reaching here? Maybe,
no,
maybe
he's
not.
He's on the roster.
I mean, maybe not.
He's listed on the bench from the photo that Matt Calhart tweeted out. So they didn't make a roster move. So,
today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, though, they don't make a roster move, and then all of a sudden Kyle Tucker's a broken leg.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the Astros. They have done that where they just willingly play a man down for a couple days.
We've seen it for five, 6 days. Alvarez. We think he has a chance to come back on that 10th day, so we're not going to place him on the IL. Now, that's mostly last year. They haven't done that as much this year.
They did that with Pena last year, too.
Yeah.
Was that his rib? I think it was. He was out for a couple days.
Was that late in the year?
I think it was late August, September.
Oh, that was his first injury when he landed on the IL eventually.
Yeah,
it was that little change-up that hit him in the ribs that broke his
I believe he
bone.
Stayed in the game, and then there was – it was weird after that.
Yeah. So yesterday he got hit in the first inning with a fastball, 100 miles per hour on the knuckle. If he's not in the lineup today, I'm certainly hitting an angel. Not in the lineup today, I'm hitting somebody. Then he stayed in the game, but then didn't make his next plate appearance. Nick the Stick took his spot.
Yeah, which I think is largely encouraging, too, with Pena overall, that he felt like at first he could stay in the game.
I mean, we see that a lot.
He did that last year.
Yeah, we see that a lot where a guy will stay in the game, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, three innings later, like the adrenaline's gone, or I'm having to hold a bat now.
That kind of feels like the Jaden Higgins walked off on his own power reaction.
Yeah. Now, we see this in baseball quite a bit where the test isn't – or we see him stay in the game, and then like, he doesn't come out to play defense. Like, we see that quite a bit. So, I mean, the most positive news for me is that Joe Espada said the x-rays were negative after the game yesterday. Can x-rays sometimes be wrong? Yeah. I don't think that's the case here. They've been more transparent with injuries. There hasn't been a roster move today. The fact that it's just a plug-and-play for Pena means that Espada wants to keep everybody in their normal spot, which gives me the indication that, hey, we're going to expect Pena back tomorrow, and he's going to be in that leadoff spot, so let's not have drastic movement. One other thing I do like about the lineup, though, yesterday I tweeted this out, that I like Wade batting more than Varsho. And I know that Wade can't play center and Varsho can, but you know, you move around the outfield a bit like you did yesterday. Taylor Trammell was in center field.
Yeah.
Lamont Wade played left field. There's a ways to do it. I'd rather see – I want Wade to cut into Varsho's at-bats. I'm not saying that he should play every day ahead of Varsho. I'm not saying he should play most of the time over Varsho. I'm just saying he should cut into the at-bats. If you have 10 games, I don't think Varsho should be playing all 10 of them or even 9 of them. I think it should be like 7-3-6-4. I also think that he should be cutting into Christian Walker's time, because Christian Walker is a lousy bum with the bat right now. Mm-hmm. If you're playing 10 straight games, I don't think Christian Walker should play all 10 of them. I don't think he should play all 9 of them. I think he should play 7 of them or 6 of them and then let Lamont Wade play in the other games.
What's another way to say that?
Not doing it.
It still counts.
I almost got there.
It still counts.
But you get my drift. I don't think that Christian Walker should be playing 90 to 100% of the games at first base. I think he should be playing 60 to 70% of the games at first base.
Or 6 or 7%.
No, Joe, that's not how it works.
That's drastically different, Joe.
I meant to say 6 or 7 out of 10. We're having a bad show.
Joe's so bad with percentages.
We're having a bad show.
What was it yesterday? The chances of the Texans winning the Super Bowl? After Higgins' injury.
No, he felt like it was greater than not they win it, but then he said it was 50-50 or something like that.
That was another one. That was the second one.
Oh, okay.
That was, he's like, yes, that was the second one. He said, I'm leaning this way, but I'm 50-50. The first one is we were talking about the Jaden Higgins injury and how much it impacted the Texans' percentage chance to win the Super Bowl. And I was like, you know, if it was 8%, maybe it drops it to 2%, and it's like a 6% chance of winning. He's like, yeah, you know, I think it's like 9 or 10% now. That's what he's bad at percentages.
Yeah.
We're having a tough show.
I'm leaning one way. It's 50-50.
You've had a
tough
show, too.
I'm not denying it. I already put myself in junkie the day.
Yeah.
I froze.
713-780-ESPN. Hopefully, hand not too swollen for x-rays to see break. Astro's notorious for that. That does happen. That happened to me, Joe. Whenever I broke my fibula, I went and got that sucker x-rayed.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's just a sprained ankle. So I go, all right. And then like 3 or 4 days later, like I can't walk on it. I was like, if this is a sprained ankle, I should be able to walk on it. So I tried to walk on it and like crumbled over in pain. And I went back and like, oh, yeah, by the way, you got a hairline fracture in your fibula. Thank you for finding that. So like it happens.
Yeah.
Hairline fractures
hurt.
And that person went on to x-ray Yordan.
They couldn't find the broken bone in Yordan. No. They couldn't find the broken bone in Tucker. They didn't want to play. They didn't want to place Tucker on the 10-day IL because they thought it was a chance he was going to be back before the 10 days were up.
Yeah.
They find out 2 weeks later he's got a broken bone in that leg.
So we're saying JP3 is back anywhere from tomorrow to next season.
Yes.
Okay.
I do want to be fair with the Astros, though. I think they've been way better with injuries this year.
I legitimately
believe that.
From the offseason, they've been way better with
it. Maybe not avoiding injuries, which are, you know, random, whatever. But in terms of, like, the imaging and, like, we're doing imaging, telling us they're doing imaging, being transparent with what they see in the imaging, like, being like letting Espada talk about injuries. Like, I think they've been way better at hand. Like, the game notes, here's what's happening. I think they've been night and day different than they were a year ago. Now, their reputation is the reason we still behave this way, and it's totally fair because what they did in the past was so egregiously bad and incompetent, they're probably going to take a decade before they were able to shake this reputation. But, calling a spade, they have been way better with the information, in my mind, than they have been in the past.
They definitely have been. But like you said, I just can't give them the benefit of the doubt at this point, because it's still largely the same group of people. Like, they didn't have, like, a full turnover. They really only changed out, like, one guy.
Yeah, the guy at the top, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeremiah Randall.
Yeah.
Who's in Atlanta now.
I didn't know that.
The more you know with Jeremy and Joe.
You follow Dubon?
Not that closely. I don't know why I knew that. I think I saw news out of him that, hey, he's in Atlanta now. Plus, I know somebody that knows him.
So do I.
Yeah, you do.
So does Brian.
Well, doctor?
Apparently, Brian knows him more than I do. 713-780-ESPN. One word to describe the Texans' defense. Got some junkies weighing in. I think it's psychotic.
Junkie?
What's the word for you? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.